Amen. All right, well, you're there in Exodus chapter number 31. I'd like you to keep your place there, but head over to Exodus chapter number 25, just real quickly. I'm sorry, Exodus 24, Exodus chapter number 24, and we're going to come back to Exodus 31 here in a moment, but look at Exodus 24. I want you to get a little bit of the context of what's going on in this passage, Exodus chapter number 24. Look down at verse number 15, Exodus 24 and verse number 15. The Bible says, and Moses went up into the mount. Remember, Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, and he receives there instructions from God. He gets the well-known Ten Commandments and many other commandments. The Bible says that Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Look down at verse 18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. You know the story. He's there for 40 days, 40 nights. He's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he's up there, God is giving him all sorts of instructions. He's telling him things that need to be done, how to structure the congregation there. And he's giving him laws, and of course he gives the Ten Commandments. Something he does, though, is he gives Moses a little bit of a vision. You're there in Exodus 24. Look down at chapter 25, just the next chapter over. Look down at verse number 8. Exodus 25 and verse 8. Notice what the Bible says. And let them make me a sanctuary. God tells Moses, I want the people to make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according, notice, I want you to notice this phrase, according to all that I show thee. According to all that I show thee. Now, your King James Bible, that word S-H-E-W is the same as our word S-H-O-W. It means to be able to see. He gave him a vision. He was able to look at it. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Go to verse number 40, same chapter, Exodus 25 and verse number 40. Notice what he says. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Now, I want you to just understand what's happening here. Keep your place there in Exodus, but go with me to the book of Hebrews just real quickly. Hebrews chapter number 8. If you start, Hebrews is towards the end of the New Testament. If you start at the book of Revelation and head backwards, you got Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd and 1st Peter, James, Hebrews. Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd and 1st Peter, James, and Hebrews. And do me a favor, when you get there, put a ribbon or a bookmark or a bulletin or something there in Hebrews. We're going to leave it, and we're going to come back to it, but we're going to come back to it at the end of the sermon. When we get back to Hebrews, you'll know that I'm almost done, okay? So I'm giving you a little bit of a sign there to give you some hope. Hebrews chapter 8, and look at verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Remember, he's told him that he wants them to make a sanctuary, the tabernacle. He's talking about the same place, same location. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern, notice, showed to thee in the mount. Here's what I want you to understand. When Moses goes up to the mountain, God opens up heaven and literally allows Moses to see a vision, to look into heaven, to see the tabernacle and to see the pattern of the tabernacle and of all the furniture and everything that's in that tabernacle. And he showed it to Moses so that Moses could get a pattern of what was supposed to be done down on earth. Now, often we will speak in leadership terms about having a vision. Leaders are to have the vision for the future, and they are supposed to cast the vision to the people. And in Proverbs 29:18, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And here's what I want you to understand. God will usually give a vision to the leader. Here, Moses, it was literal. You know, usually when we talk about leaders having a vision, we talk about, you know, seeing into the future, having a plan and having a destination that they want to lead the church or the organization in. Here, Moses did have a vision for the future of the congregation of the children of Israel, but he literally had a vision. He actually looked up into heaven, saw the sanctuary, saw the pattern, how God wanted it to be done, how God wanted it to be built. And he had a vision for what they were supposed to build and take care of with the children of Israel. I want you to understand this. God gives leaders a vision. If you are a leader this morning, maybe you are a business owner, maybe you are a leader in your job, in your career, you ought to have a vision for what God can do. If you are a husband, you ought to have a vision for your family. If you are a mother or a father, you ought to have a vision for your children. Everyone that is in leadership positions ought to develop a vision for what God would have them to do. I have a vision for Verity Baptist Church. Sometimes I talk about it, sometimes I don't. I don't ever talk about everything that we'd like to accomplish here, because I think some of you would leave and never come back if you knew everything that that I felt God would like us to do, not over the next year or the next 5 years or the next 10 years, but over the next 20 years, the next 30 years. I can tell you this, I would love to see in the not so distant future our church to be able to develop a Spanish ministry, to be able to meet, to be able to reach the Hispanic people in the Sacramento area for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would love our church at some point to be able to develop some sort of a program and ministry to help people that struggle with addictions, drugs, and alcohol and things of that nature. I don't think it would be too far of our reach for maybe in the next 5 years or so to even have a home where we could bring people in and help them get off drugs and, of course, get them saved and get them discipled and get them cleaned up and help them become a productive member of our society. I'd love for our church one day, definitely once we move into a bigger facility or bigger building, I'd love for us to have an orchestra. That would have, you know, all those orchestra instruments and the violin and the trumpet and the flute and all those things, and be able to have, you know, an orchestra that played for the church services. I'm just telling you, every leader has a vision. I'd like to see us expand what we're doing now. We average somewhere between 50 and 60 soul winners every week. I'd love for us to have 75, 100 soul winners. I'd love for us to be able to just expand what we're doing, grow, and God gives a leader a vision, and here, God gave Moses a vision, but sometimes, I want you to understand, sometimes the vision can be a little bit overwhelming. In Exodus chapter number 24 and 25, we saw there that God gave the vision to Moses about the tabernacle and the sanctuary. What's interesting about that is that when you go from that point to where we read this morning, Exodus 31, those next several chapters, if you read those, God is basically just instructing Moses and telling him, here's what you need to do. You need to set up a table. You need to set up a candlestick. You need to set up an altar. You need to set up the furniture. You need to set up an ark. You need to set up the mercy seat. And he goes through, spends several chapters just in detail explaining to Moses everything that needed to be done. And here's what I want you to understand. God gave a vision to the leader. God gave a vision to the man of God. God gave a vision to Moses, literally allowed him to look into heaven to see what God wanted them to accomplish. But I want you to understand something. The vision that God gave Moses, Moses could not fulfill on his own. I mean, it must have been overwhelming for Moses. First of all, you got 40 days and 40 nights of not eating, right? You're up there on the mount, there's fire, there's thunder, there's, you know, God opens up heaven and says, look inside, Moses, look at the pattern, look at the sanctuary, look at the tabernacle, look at the mercy seat, look at the altar, look at the incense, look at all everything, the apothecary, look at everything we have in here. I want you to do that down there. I want you to come. And he goes and goes chapter after chapter, detail after detail, telling him exactly how he wants things to look and the garments for the priests and everything. And Moses was probably up there thinking to himself, I don't think I can do that. I don't know. I'm not equipped to be able to do that. Moses wasn't a carpenter. Moses wasn't a construction guy. Moses wasn't a mason. He wasn't a woodworker. He wasn't a stone worker. Moses had spent the first 40 years of his life living in Egypt as a prince of Egypt. He probably had a lot of leadership training being in the royal family there. And I'm sure God used that time to be able to train him to lead the children of Israel. But he didn't know how to do all that construction work. He didn't know how to get all that stuff done. And then after that, when Moses left Egypt, the Bible tells us he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert as a shepherd. I'm sure that prepared him for the ministry. A pastor is called, is a shepherd. That's what the term pastor means. And I'm sure that helped him to care for those sheep and to love on those sheep and to protect those sheep. I'm sure those 40 years prepared him for the work. But when Moses looked into that vision, when Moses looked up into heaven, when Moses saw the work that he needed to do, he's probably a little overwhelmed in realizing that I can't do this on my own. So God rose up a man by the name of Bezalel. I want to preach to you this morning about Bezalel, and it wasn't just Bezalel. There were other men there too, but Bezalel is the main character. In Exodus 31, in verse number 1, the Bible says this. If you can head back to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, in verse 1, the Bible says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." See, God understood that Moses was not able to do ministry on his own. God understood that Moses was going to need men and women, if you read the passage, and people who would rise up and say, hey, I'm going to buy into the vision. I'm going to stand behind the leader. I'm going to go ahead, Moses, you lead. You've got the vision. You've got the direction. You've got the way we're going. But I will raise up and I will give of my time and I will give of my talent and I will give of my treasure to be able to help to accomplish that God gave Moses on the mount. And I'm here to tell you, any church, any ministry, I'm no Moses. I'm not here to tell you I'm Moses. I'm not, you know, if Moses was here, if Moses walked in this morning, I would sit down and let him finish the sermon. You know what I mean? I mean, Moses was a great man. And I'm no Moses, but I'll tell you this. I am the pastor that God has ordained at Verity Baptist Church for this time. And I believe that God has given me a vision, and we've got a direction, and we've got a way that we are going. But I'm here to tell you this morning, we have not been able to accomplish what we have accomplished so far without the 30-some-odd names we just read this morning of Bezalels who said, I will give of my time, I will give of my talent, I will give of my treasure, I will help, I will get behind, and I will help fulfill the vision that God has for Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento. And we will not continue without Bezalels. Bezalels are needed. It's not just about Moses. It's not just about Aaron. It's not just, you know, sometimes we get this idea, oh, the pastor's up there and he's preaching and he's on YouTube and he's on the news and he's on this and he's on that. But look, church can't happen. Ministry can't happen. It cannot be done with just a Moses. You need men. You need women. You need Bezalels. So I want to give you just a couple of thoughts this morning on the subject of the Bezalels needed for the ministry. If you're able to take notes this morning, I'd like you to write these statements down. If you've got a child on your lap, I understand you may not be able to, but I'd like you to write these statements down. Number one, God specifically positions people like Bezalel for the work. God specifically positions Bezalels for the work. Are you there in Exodus 31? I'd like you to look down at verse number 2. If you don't mind writing in your Bible, I'd like you to underline this phrase. Notice Exodus 31, 2. It says, see, I'd like you to notice these three words. I have called. You see those three words? Can we read those together? Let's read those out loud. I have called. I'd like you to underline that in your Bible if you don't mind writing your Bible. I notice what God says. Because God just got done overwhelming Moses. God just got done telling him, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to take care of this, I need you to do this. And Moses is probably like, whoa, that's amazing. How am I going to get all this done? And then God says to Moses, he says, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I want you to understand that God specifically positioned Bezalel in Israel at the time of Moses to be able to help him with the ministry, with the vision that God had given Moses. Keep your place there in Exodus 31. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Now, do me a favor. When you get there, put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there in 1 Corinthians. We're going to leave it, and we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians throughout the sermon this morning. So I want you to be able to get to 1 Corinthians quickly. You ought to have your place in two places in the Bible. The book of Hebrews, 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back and forth from 1 Corinthians, and we'll get to Hebrews at the end of the sermon, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look down at verse number 14. I'm sure when Moses heard these words, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and God continued to talk. I'm sure Moses thought to himself, oh, good, I'm going to need help. And I want you to notice that God specifically positioned Bezalel in Judah, in the tribe of Israel, in the nation of Israel, there with Moses for the time needed to be able to do that work. But I want you to understand something. God has specifically positioned you. You are not at Verity Baptist Church by mistake. You are not at Verity Baptist Church just because you happen to be here and it's just happened to be. If you are here, and I'm talking about if you've made this your church, if you say, this is my church, Pastor Jimenez, for better or worse, is my pastor, you know, and this is the place where God has called me, then I'd like you to know, if you're here, it's not by accident. If you're here, it's not by mistake. If you're here, God has specifically positioned you here for this time to fulfill the vision that God has called us to do. You're there in 1 Corinthians 12? Look at the verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. Notice what the Bible says. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? I want you to notice verse 18. But now hath God set the members. Now, the word members there is talking about body parts, because that's the illustration he's giving. He's saying, we are the body. And by the way, the church is the body of Christ. We are a body here, and all of us play different roles. The eye may do something different than the ear does. The nose may do something different than the foot does. The hand may do something different than another part of the body does. But we're all part of one body. But here's what I want you to notice, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If you are here this morning and you consider yourself part of Verity Baptist Church, you are part of this body because God set you here. Because God placed you here. Because God specifically positioned you here for his work. By the way, you're there in 1 Corinthians. Make sure you keep your place there. Go to Ephesians just real quickly. 1, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Let me say this to our workers. I appreciate everything you do. I appreciate the time you give. I appreciate the fact that you volunteer your time. And some of you that are on staff, we might pay you, but you still, you know, don't get paid as much as you should and give a lot more time than what we pay you for. And I appreciate everything that we do. But let me say this. It is God that placed you here. It is God that put you here. It is God that brought you here to work with us, to be with us, and that's why everything we do should be done as unto the Lord. You're there in Ephesians 6, look at verse 7. With good will doing service, notice, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Go to Colossians just real quickly. You're there in Ephesians. You're going to go past Philippians into Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Look down at verse number 23. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 23. And whatsoever ye do, Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. See, whatever you do here, whatever you do, and by the way, this applies anywhere, whatever you do at work, whatever you do at home, everything we do it for God. And if we're going to do it for God, we ought to do it with excellence. We, you know, some people, I've literally had people say to me like, oh, we're not going to go to Verity Baptist Church. It's just a little too, you know, structured. It's a little too organized, a little too whatever. Listen to me. I don't apologize for that. We're doing the business of God here. We're not just sitting around just kind of having a social club and just, you know, whatever. We just kind of start whatever. We just kind of do whatever. No, everything that's done at Verity Baptist Church ought to be done with excellence. And look, I'm not talking about being stiff. I'm not talking about being just thinking highly of ourselves. We can laugh and we can joke and we make mistakes, but we ought to strive to do things with excellence for God because it's for God. When you serve, it's not to be seen of men. It's not so that others can see you. Everything we do is for God because God is the one that set you here. God is the one that placed you here. We see of Bezalel that God specifically positioned him at that time to be there to help with the work. And God says, I have called. He said, I have called. God specifically positioned him for the work. Keep your place there in 1 Corinthians. Go back to Exodus 31. I'd like you to notice something else. Not only did God specifically position Bezalel for the work, and by the way, God specifically positioned you. If you are here, it's because God wants you here. If you are here, it's because God placed you here. If you are here, it's because God knows that you've got a skill, you've got a talent, you've got something that you can bring to the table that no one else can. See, you say, well, he's different than her, and she's different than him, and we can't all do the same thing. But listen to me, in a body, and that's what he says, you don't want a body that's just a bunch of hands. Once you've got a couple of hands, you're good to go. You don't want a body that's just all feet. Once you've got a couple of feet, you're fine. You don't want a body that's all a mouth. Once you've got one preacher, hey, you don't really need that many more, you know? You don't want a body. And here's what he's saying. We all play different roles. We all do different things, but God has brought us here and specifically positioned you. Now, here's the thing. If I lose my arm, it's amputated, can I continue? Of course I can. If I lose my arm, can I still live a fulfilling life? Can I still accomplish much? For God, of course I can, but I will be more effective with my hand. Do you understand? Some of you might leave here, and this is where God has placed you. And here's the thing. If you leave, we will continue without you. If you leave, we will just keep doing what God has called us to do, but we will not be as effective because God specifically placed you here for a reason. We see that God placed Bezalel in verse 2 there. He says, I have called. Look down at Exodus 31. Look at verse 3. I want you to notice what he says. He says, and, notice these three words, I have filled. Can we read those three words together? I have filled. So in verse 2 we see, I have called. And verse 3 we see, I have filled. Notice what he says. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work all manner of workmanship. I want you to notice that God said that he filled Bezalel with the Spirit to do what? To preach a great sermon? They didn't need that. To do what? To be able to give the laws of God? They didn't need that. Moses did that. He filled them with the Spirit to do the work of the priest. No, they didn't need that. Aaron was there for that. He filled them with the Spirit so that someone might judge. They didn't need that. Moses did that. He filled them with the Spirit to do what Moses and Aaron weren't able to do, which was to work with gold, to cut the stones, to work in timber, and all manner of workmanship. And I want you to notice, look down at verse number 7, Exodus 31. Look at all the things that Bezalel did. Exodus 31, verse 7, the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony. He built the tabernacle. He built the ark, notice, and the mercy seat. He built the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. Look at verse 8, and the table and his furniture and the pure candlestick with all his furniture and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering. With all his furniture and the laver and his foot and the cloths of service and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons to minister in the priest's office and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy places according to all that I have commanded thee shall they do. He filled him. I want you to know, he filled him with the Spirit to do what you and I would consider non-ministry work. You say, it's non-ministry work. I'm not preaching when I take the offering. I'm not doing anything spiritual when I run the sound booth. I'm not doing something, you know, ministry related, for lack of better words, when I'm playing the piano, when I'm singing in the choir, when I'm greeting someone at the door, when I'm driving a van, when I'm taking a picture, when I'm filling the baptistry. I'm not doing ministry work, but listen to me. Whenever you do anything for God, it is you get filled with the Spirit of God, and it is in the power of God that you get to do it if you're doing it for Him. And you say, well, it's not spiritual, but this man was filled with the Spirit of God. To do carpentry work? To do construction work? To build a table? To build an altar? To build a tabernacle? See, I want you to understand that not only was Bezalel specifically positioned for the work, he was also sufficiently prepared for the work. God gave Bezalel the tools and the equipment and the empowerment to be able to accomplish what God had called him to do. Can you get back to 1 Corinthians 12? I'd like you to notice that like Bezalel, God has sufficiently prepared you for the work here at Verity Baptist Church. And it's a spiritual work. And it's a spiritual preparation. 1 Corinthians 12, look down at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1, notice what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Skip down to verse number 4 just for sake of time. Notice what he says about these spiritual gifts. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Here's what he's saying. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We all have different abilities, but it is the same God. It is the same Spirit that brought us together to do a work for the Lord. I was just telling my wife last night, I remember the first several years of Verity Baptist Church, we recorded the sermons, but we didn't do anything with them. You know, I just didn't have the skills and the knowledge or the time to be able to put them on a website. I remember there's a guy at Faithful Word, Brother Scott, and he's a computer guy, and he was doing work for Pastor Anderson, and every 6 months or so, he'd be up in Northern California, and he would come to my house, and he would grab all those audio files, and about every 6 months or so, you know, they would get posted on the website, because someone else did, because I just didn't know how to, I didn't have the time to. You know, I did my best with it, and sometimes I would, but I mean, I'd always laugh, because he'd do in like 15 minutes what took me about 6 hours. You know, and those things. And I get, you know, people would email me and saying, why don't you post your sermons? Why? And it's just like, I just don't know how. I still don't know how. You know, the only reason the sermons get posted right now is because we've got people here with gifts and talents and abilities and the spiritual gift that God has given them. And they've came along and God has placed them here. And we're able to work together for the work of the ministry. See, sometimes people think to themselves like, oh, well, pastor gets up there and preaches a sermon. That's just one step in the process. Someone takes care of the mics. Someone takes care of the recording. Someone puts it on the internet. Hey, you say, we have these services here. Someone's got to go and get in that van and drive out early in the morning and pick people up. Someone's got to organize those rides and get those phone calls and make sure those people are ready to be picked up. Someone's got to take the offering. Someone's got to play the piano. Someone's got to lead the music. It's not a one-man show. God has given all of us gifts spiritually that we bring to the table, that when we work together, we accomplish more. And by the way, let me say this, we always accomplish more when we work together. Amen. When there's many of us working together, the growth is exponential. And here we see that God sufficiently prepared Bezalel, and God has sufficiently prepared you. You've got gifts, and you've got talents, and you've got things that you bring to the table that we don't, that I don't have. You know, the hand can do something the ear can't do, and the ear can do something the hand can't do. And we all work together as the body of Christ to fulfill the vision that God has called us. And by the way, let me say this. By the way, that's why we shouldn't get too puffed up about our abilities. You're there in 1 Corinthians 12. Head back to 1 Corinthians 4. When you realize that whatever talent or ability you have was given to you by God, the Bible says every good gift cometh from above. When you realize that every ability, if you can preach a good sermon, it's because God gives you that ability. If you can lead the music, it's because God gives you that ability. If you're good with computers, it's because God gave you that brain and that mind. If whatever you're able to do, if you can do that, it's because God gave it to you. So don't get too puffed up about what you can do. Amen. Don't get too puffed up about your own abilities. Well, I can do this and I can do that. God can sit you down any moment he decides to. God can bring you down. God can come with you. You're there in 1 Corinthians 4, look at verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us. Notice, not to think of man above that which is written, and that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? He says, who makes you different from someone else? And what hast thou that thou dost not receive? What talent do you have that God didn't give you? What ability do you have that God didn't give you? What success do you have? You say, well, I'm very successful, and I've got this business, and I've got all this. What do you have that wasn't given to you by God? And the answer is nothing. Everything you have, every resource, every talent, everything you bring to the table was given to you by God for the purpose of being used in his word. And sometimes God allows you to use that talent to make money. Sometimes God allows you to use that talent to start a business. Sometimes God allows you to use that talent to be able to do other things, and praise the Lord for it. We want you to do that. We want you to make money. We want you to be successful. At Verity Baptist Church, we have as far as I can tell, talking to different churches and different people, we have a percentage of business owners in our church that's not normal. For the size of our congregation, we have about 160, 70 people show up here every Sunday morning, and we've got, I think, 12 or 13 different business owners. Usually those ratios are not that way. I don't know why God has given us so many business owners. I'm thankful for it because, you know, I want your businesses to grow. I want them to expand. I want you to be able to use the talent and the time and the ability that God gave you to be able to go and succeed in the marketplace. But don't ever forget that God gave you those talents to be used in His work, to be used for His glory, to be used for the work. See, Bezalel, I'm sure Bezalel had a very good business with all the talents God gave him, but he was filled with the Spirit to build a tabernacle, to help Moses fulfill the vision that God had given Moses that Moses was not able to do on his own. So don't get too puffed up. Don't start thinking, well, you know, I'm just so good. I'm just so great. Look, anything you have is because God gave it to you. So we see, number one, God specifically. Keep your place there in 1 Corinthians 12. Head back to Exodus 31. Let me give you the third point. We see, number one, God specifically positioned Bezalel for the work. He said, I have called. And God sufficiently prepared Bezalel for the work. He said, I have failed. But I'd like you to notice the third thing. You're there in Exodus 31. Look down at verse number 6. Notice what he says. Exodus 31 and verse 6. He says, and I, behold. You notice the next three words? Can we read those together? Notice what he says. I have given. That was pretty weak. Let's read that. God gave you the ability to read, all right? Let's use it for God. I have given. Good. We saw in verse 2, he said, I have called. We saw in verse 3, he said, I have filled. We see in verse 6, he says, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I put wisdom that they, that's the workers, may make all that I, that's God, have commanded thee, that's Moses. Look down at verse number 11, same chapter. Notice what he says, in the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I, God, have commanded thee, Moses, shall they, Bezalel, Aholiab, the men that God called, do. See, here's what I want you to understand. Not only did God specifically position you for the work, not only did God sufficiently prepare you for the work, but God strategically partners us together for the work. See, it's not a one-man show. He said, I called Bezalel, but I gave Bezalel Aholiab. And I gave Bezalel a work. And listen to me. This is why. God strategically partnered Bezalel with Aholiab, with other men that were able. The Bible says the other men. Notice verse number 6. It says, and in the hearts of all that were wise-hearted, it wasn't just Bezalel, it was other men, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I commanded, that I have commanded thee. He gave them a group. He gave them a team. God strategically partnered them for the work of the tabernacle. And you know what? Go back to Exodus 12. God has strategically partnered us for the work. Exodus 12 and verse 20. Exodus 12 and verse 20. Notice what he says. I'm sorry, Exodus 12. Good night. 1 Corinthians 12. That's where I want you to go. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Notice what he says. 1 Corinthians 12, 20. But now, notice what he says. But now are they many members, many roles, many positions, yet but one body. We're one church. Listen to me. We're one body here. Notice what he says in verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered. The word tempered means he mixed and brought together. God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lack. See, God brought us together. God tempered us together. God brought the body together. And by the way, that's why we should seek to get along and to strive together. Because God brought us together. God partnered us together to work. You're there in Exodus 12. Look down at verse, I said it again. 1 Corinthians 12, look down at verse 21. I don't know why I'm saying that. I really want to get back to Exodus. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 21. Notice what he said. 1 Corinthians 12, 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again of the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Look at verse 24 again. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, verse 25, that there should no schism, the word means division, that there be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Listen to me, you and I need to learn to work together. And you're not going to get along with everybody at Verity Baptist Church. And I don't think everyone in this church needs to be best friends. And you need to have everyone in the church over. If you can be best friends with everybody, praise the Lord. If you can get along with everybody, praise God. There may be some people you clash with. There may be some people you butt heads with. Let me let you in on a secret. There are people I clash with. There are people I butt heads with. We need to learn to be friendly and kind and loving, and maybe we need to let things go, but we need to be able to get to the place where we work together because God saw fit to put you and that other person here for such a time as this. And either you're smarter than God or God doesn't know what he's doing. But if God brought you here to be part of the same body, then God wants us to work together. And we need to learn to collaborate. And we need to learn to strive together. Philippians 1:27, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You don't have to turn there. Philippians 1:27 says this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's the goal. God strategically partners us for the work. He said, it's not just about Bezalel. He said, I gave him Aholiab. He said he's going to work with Moses. He's going to work with other men. They're going to work together. And listen to me. We're getting ready to go into a work project. We're getting ready to spend a lot of time working together in this new location, getting it ready. And I've done this enough times because we've done this for other buildings in the past. I've done this enough times to know you get a bunch of hard-headed guys together. You know, sometimes we don't need hard hats. Your heads are hard enough. You get a bunch of hard-headed guys together who get a little proud about their abilities that God gave you, by the way. And you know, here's what I've noticed. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And you'll get two or three guys saying, no, it's got to be done this way. This is the only way it can be done. And you got another guy saying, that guy's an idiot. He doesn't know. We need to do it this way. And then the other guy says, no, they're both wrong. It needs to be done this way. And I come in and say, well, I'm the pastor. So we're going to do it my way. And I've done the best to try to figure out who can work with each other and who knows what they're doing and say, hey, look, you go with him. He's in charge of this project. And you go with that person. They're in charge of this project. That guy gets out of line. Let me know. I'll call his wife. You know, whatever it might be, you know, I try to do the best to work. But listen to me. We need to learn to work together. We're on the same team. We're going the same direction. We're trying to accomplish the same thing. And God called us not to work by ourselves, but to work together as a team, collaborating, partnering. He said, I called Bezalel. He said, I have called. And he said, I have filled. But he said, I also gave you people to learn to work with. God strategically partners us for the work. You're there in Exodus. Go to Exodus. You're not in Exodus. I'm all confused today. My wife's not here. My son wasn't feeling well. Whenever she's not here, I'm always off. Exodus 36. Make sure you tell her that, all right? Exodus 36. Look at verse 1. I blame her for all my problems. Exodus 36. Exodus 36. Say, Pastor, what's the goal of the sermon this morning? Well, I've got two goals. Number one, I want to thank all of you Bezalels out there who work in labor. You're filled with the Spirit. You say, all I do is I push a vacuum. No, you're filled with the Spirit when you push that vacuum. If you're doing it for God. Well, all I do is I take the trash out. No, you're filled with the Spirit when you take that trash out. If you're doing it for God. All I do is I fill the baptistry. All I do is I record the sermon. All I do is I work on the website. All I do, whatever it is that you do, if you're doing it for God, God has called you, God has positioned you, God has filled you, God has brought you here to be able to meet that role. Don't ever undermine that. It always bothers me when people undermine. Well, all I do is, no, you do a great work for God. And it's not that what I do is more important than what you do. No, we're all doing it for God, and we all get rewarded for what God has called us to do. And if I do a good job in my role, and you look, we're not running against each other. We're all running in a race. And we're all trying to beat each other. We're all trying to beat the flesh and the world and the devil. I'm not in competition with you. You're not in competition with me. You're running the race that is set before you, and I'm running the race that is set before me. And as long as you're doing whatever you're doing for God, you're filled with the Spirit, God has called you to do it. Exodus chapter number 36. I'd like you to look down at verse number 3. Exodus 36, and look down at verse number 3. Exodus 36 and verse 3. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't have the ability to be able to work. Physically, I'm not able to, or, you know, I just can't. That's fine. But here's a couple things you can do for us. Number one, you can pray. Anyone can pray. Everyone should pray. Would you pray? Would you pray on Tuesday night? Maybe you say, I physically can't be there. Would you say, okay, Pastor, here's what I'll do. On Tuesday night at 5 p.m., I will get on my knees and I will pray that God helps you men work and accomplish the task that needs to be done. Could you do that? Would you say, on Saturday at 2 p.m., I can't be there, but at 2 p.m., I'll get on my knees and I'll pray that God would help you men to work together and strive together and accomplish the task that needs to be done. There's another thing you can do. There's something that was done in this story, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's there, so I want to talk about it. Exodus 36, if you look down to verse 3, notice what the Bible says. And they received of Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him the free offerings every morning. See, they had the workers, but that doesn't mean they had the finances to do it. And I'll tell you, we have the finances to do it, but if you've done any part of construction, you know this, it always costs more than you think. And there's always resources that are spent. And you might say, I can't work, I'm not physically able to, my schedule doesn't allow it, or whatever it might be. Can you pray? Here's the thing, can you give? Could you say, hey, for the next couple of weeks or so, I'll give a little bit above my tithe to help with the construction work? You're going to ask us for money? It's scriptural. Moses asked for money. I'm not embarrassed to tell you what the Bible says. Notice what they did. Look at verse 3. And they received of Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought to the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it with all that they brought yet unto him. Free, let me say this. They're free offerings every morning. No one's coerced. We don't want your money if you're giving it out grudgingly. We don't want it. Look at verse 4. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from this work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people, wouldn't it be nice to have this problem? The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandments, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. These people got behind this project. These people got behind Moses. They said, we will work, we will give, we will sacrifice of our time, our talent, and our treasure. You might say, I can't work. Physically, I'm not able to. The time restraints just right now. Can you pray? Can you give? Here's all we're asking. Can you get involved? You're there in Exodus 36. Keep your finger there. We're going to come right back to it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. I want to show you a verse in Hebrews. Come back and show you a verse in Exodus, and we'll be done. All right? Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. While you turn there, let me say this. We have this card in the bulletin asking you to volunteer. Here's what we're asking. Men, you men, would you be willing to give up a night, a Tuesday night, every week, for the next several weeks, however many weeks it takes to get this building done? Would you be willing to give up a Saturday afternoon and evening? So I'll give up that Saturday. I'll come soul winning. I'll grab lunch, and I'll head over there, and I'll work every Saturday for the next several weeks till this building's done. Maybe you can give up both, Tuesday and Saturday. Maybe you say, I can't do the evenings, but I can work in the morning. Hey, if you can work in the morning, we'll get some guys together, and we'll try to do whatever work we can in the morning. I can work in the morning, and I can do this. Pastor, just let me know. If no one's there, just give me a key or have someone let me in. Just tell me what needs to be done. Could you do that? Could you help us? Maybe you're a lady here. You say, well, I can't work. Although some of you ladies probably better at construction than some of your husbands. But, you know, you say, I can't work. Hey, can you bring a meal? Could you say, hey, on a Tuesday night, I'll bring a meal for the guys. Just let me know how many guys there are, and I'll bring a meal and make sure they're fed so that they don't have to spend time going, or the church has to spend time buying food, and that way they can get the work done. On a Saturday, I can bring a meal. You ladies, you might be able to say, hey, you know, once we get a little closer to being done, there's going to be a lot of cleaning that needs to be done. I can come in, and I'll clean, and I'll help with the cleaning. Eventually, we'll need to move everything out of here into that location. Could you say, hey, I'll give up my time to help? Here's what I'm asking. Can you help? Can you get stirred? Can you give whatever area it may be, whatever things you can do? Ladies, here's one of the best things you could do if you want to help Pastor Jimenez out with this project. Don't discourage your husband. Are you listening, ladies? Your husband walks out of here and gets excited and says, I want to be there on Tuesday night, and I'm even going to go there on Thursday, and I just want to help. Don't say, well, when are you going to be home? Don't do that. Hey, ladies, would you help? Would you help sacrifice your husband for several weeks? Some of you ladies are like, you're going to have him. I'm talking to ladies that actually love their husbands. Would you say, hey, I won't complain. Honey, you want to go there on Tuesday night? You go there on Tuesday night. And you help. And we'll sacrifice and we'll have a meal without you. We'll do whatever. I'm just saying, would you get involved? Would you get engaged? Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. I want to say to all the Bezaleels that have helped us through the years, to the 31 names on that handout that we gave you, to all the people that work and labor and all the ministries around here, I do my best to thank everyone for the work they do, and I'm not just saying that. I truly appreciate from my heart everything that anyone does for Verity Baptist Church. But if I haven't said it to you or if I haven't said it recently, I want you to know we appreciate all the work you do, and so does God. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I want to thank you, Bezaleels, that have helped with the ministry thus far. But go back to Exodus 36. I want to speak to a new crop of Bezaleels who can get engaged, who can get committed, who can say, I will work, I will give, I will pray, or I will do all of the above. We need your help. We need your help. I can tell you this, I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. Ministry cannot be done on your own. We need a group of people, a family of believers who collaborate together. You're there in Exodus 36. Can you look at verse number 1? We'll be done right here. Exodus 36, verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone, here's who we're looking for, even everyone, verse number 2, whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. If that's you this morning, we need your help. If God has stirred in your heart, say, I can help. We need you to get connected. Would you take a moment? Would you take a moment and grab that card? Would you write your name on it? Would you say, hey, I can work this night. I can work this day. I can be available for this. I can help with the meals. Whatever you might be able to do. Maybe you filled it out. Maybe you already put it in the offering plate. Maybe you want to change it, add more days. Or maybe you just need to fill one out. You can hand it to me, hand it to one of the ushers. Here's what we're asking. Here's the whole point. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the work you have done thus far. But we're not done. We've got a vision for what God has called us to do, and we need your help to be able to do it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father,